It's a long day. Already. I mean, everybody's asleep. Well, good morning. We're ready to go here, I guess. Give God the glory. Glory. we could try and sing that this morning, but looking at Nehemiah 6:15-19 this morning. Okay. Any particular prayer requests you have before we get here? We got Allie shipped in from overseas, over the lake. It's been a long time. You were a year younger the last time you were here, right? Yeah, Mark? Okay. Anything else going on? Okay. I might not announce this in church, but Maureen's got some more tests coming up on Wednesday. You might pray that they turn out well. Okay, let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you for the day you've given us. Thank you for the bright sunshine and warmer weather. We thank you, Lord, for the freedoms that we have to come and to worship you, to learn of your word. We thank you for this book of Nehemiah, and how you use the men and women of Jerusalem and surrounding area to get the walls built, the gates built, and do it in record time. We do pray that you'll continue to work in the heart and life of Tammy and Madeline, Mark's mom, for the two Amandas, Christy, Ben, and you'll continue to draw them close to you. Pray that you're peace might be experienced by Jenny, and as she goes in for these tests, that they might come back in good shape. Pray your continued blessing upon her, and you know, give the doctors wisdom as they deal with her in the days ahead. And also for Maureen, as she has these additional tests on Wednesday, that we get some good news back from that. Pray you'll guide us in our time here now. Jesus' name, amen. Okay, so we got the walls built. How long did it take them?
52 days.
All right. Yeah, right. I don't know if they had Bengay back then, Biofreeze, all the rest of that stuff, from a lot of Band-Aids from putting them big rocks up on the wall. But, yeah, they're getting it done. Praise the Lord. And, okay, so they got the wall up. Is that going to make the enemies, the opposition crowd, go away and leave them alone? No. No, whenever there's something good going on, you can count for opposition from two groups, the unbelievers, or maybe even sometimes the believers. But Satan's going to have his hand in there stirring things up best he can. Well, if I don't know if they had newspapers back in, maybe they had chalkboards, I don't know. The town crier goes around in 445 B.C. That's a long time ago. Jerusalem Times, front page. The walls are built. I don't know if they had praised the Lord after that or not, but they should have, right? And that was a tremendous task. Again, think of Nehemiah. That guy's outside his comfort zone. That's a long way from taking bites of food and sipping drink for the king to make sure somebody hadn't poisoned it to be a construction guru of some kind, okay? Anyway, God honored him, and yet he's not up front of everybody taking bows, you know, what a good boy am I, what a great job I did. He doesn't have that I syndrome that we've heard sometimes from some of the presidents and so on that done something. And so they created a bit of a wow factor for the people. I'm sure there were some hallelujahs in there, okay? It wasn't 52 days straight, okay? They took the Sabbath day off, right? They probably needed that, right? We're going to soak in a hot tub or something for the day. But they were thankful that the Lord helped them, enabled them, God used them, but God made it happen. If they were to start all over, okay, if you had the two groups, you know how they have study groups, one with a placebo and one with the real medicine, okay? You have the ones who've got God's help, God's blessing on them, and the other guys are just kind of doing it on their own. I'm satisfied that the guys that are doing it on their own wouldn't have got it done in 52 days. They'd have probably hung up their shovels and decided they're going to the beach or someplace else instead. But, this no doubt had an impression upon the opposition crowd. And you may remember that they were kind of surrounded by opposition, by the people of the land, not necessarily Jews. They had been doing all that they could to discourage the work to keep it from getting built. And remember, when they did build some here some time ago, they wrote letters to a king and told him what was going on, and he told them to stop, and then they went in and tore it down some more and burned the gates. So, now it's done. It's kind of like, how do you silence your critics? What's the best way? Getting into a verbal tongue lashing with them, you know, back and forth? No. Success. Just get the job done. All right? And that's what they were doing. And Nehemiah, he faced a lot. Remember, he had some threats. Okay, there's some people in town that are want to kill you. What was the solution? What did somebody that was kind of his friend suggest that he do? Michelle?
Hide in the temple.
Yeah, why don't you go in the temple? That's a safe place, right? Well, Nehemiah knew he wasn't supposed to be in the temple. He'd be going against God's word if he did. And so he didn't. Wise choice, okay? And that's a wise choice for all of us. Don't go against God's word. Doesn't matter if everybody else is doing it or whatever, you know, people can give bad advice. And they were trying to give him some bad advice. They also invited him to come on out to, what was the town? Oh, no. I mean, that's kind of a red flag right there, right? Come on out to the plains of Oh, no, and we'll have a little powwow. And yeah. So, he faced false accusations. They said, you know, you're trying to be king. All kinds of stuff, slander. They want to just, they figure, it, and that's the way it works. You know, if we can knock off the kingpin, we can knock off the head guy, we can get Nehemiah discouraged and throw in the towel, this thing will fizzle out in no time, okay? And that's why, you know, in warfare, they're trying to knock off the general or whoever's in charge to see if they can't get things to stop. Well, Nehemiah pressed on, and again, out of his comfort zone, but nevertheless, he proceeded. He realized he wasn't just doing it for Nehemiah or for praise of men or anything else. How long has this been since Nebuchadnezzar came in and knocked down the walls of Jerusalem? And do you remember when that was? Get that guy a gold star. Yeah.
This is 445, so I don't figure
it's 70 years?
No, more than that.
Well, okay, it was seven. Remember, the Lord says you got a time out for 70 years. Okay, so nobody went anywhere. After that, first guys go back, Zerubbabel. How's that for a handle? Okay. Don't hear people using that for their kid's name either. But anyway, they go back, they get the temple built, okay, with a little jabbing along the way to get them get it done. But this is like 90 years later. So for a lot of people, it's more than a lifetime that's all they remember about Jerusalem is this broken down, beat up city, you know. I mean, it probably looked better if they had no walls than if you have walls that are falling down, you know. And the gates that are no longer there. So, but they had six gates to fix. They had like 14,000 feet or a little over 2 miles, 2.5 miles of wall to rebuild. Again, no heavy duty equipment. It was just, as my dad used to say, brute strength and awkwardness. Yeah. Michelle. Yeah, it's not some 8-foot wall that you have to keep the neighbors from looking in. 39, I didn't know that. Wow, okay. And the 8-foot thick, that's kind of like the castles in England. You know, you can run up with a battering ram, but it bounces off. Okay, amazing. So that's a lot of bricks, you know. And I'm sure they had to, I don't know what they were doing. They had cement of some kind, or they had to do something so it didn't just all come rolling down. Or as I think it was Tobiah that said that, oh, fox runs up on that, it's going to fall down. You know, so they had to have it up there sturdy like. And, okay, so they had kind of a famine they had to deal with. They were so busy working on the walls that they didn't have time to go out and hold a garden. Food was getting scarce. Remember, they had problems with that. People jacking up the prices. Sounds like today. We thought we were the only ones that had inflation, right? And then there was the military threat. You know, these guys, Tobiah and Sanballat and the other guys were saying, we're going to get you when you least expect it. We're going to come in after you. So they ended up, you know, a trowel in one hand or a stone under one arm and their sword in the other. And so that was a motivation. we got to get this wall built so these guys can't get in here, all right? And when it's all done, though, again, Nehemiah didn't throw his arm out of joint, patting himself on the back. He said, God did it. God did it. I got a card the other day. It said, God's got this. Okay. So let's, chapter 6, verse 15. So the wall was finished in the 20th and 50th day of the month of Elul, in 52 days. Okay. A remarkable time. And they, you know, in case you didn't know what month that was, somebody smarter than me said that's about September 3rd. Okay. That's about like Labor Day. Well, that means that they've been, for the last 52 days or 9 weeks prior to this, they're going through the summer. I don't know if maybe some of you have heard Chris and Patty talking about what it's like to go over to Israel in the summer. Now, I looked it up, and it said, you know, average temperature like 90. Well, when they were there, it's like 114, you know. And remember, they didn't have air conditioning. They didn't have fans. They didn't have anything, you know. And so keep them cool. And so the hottest months out of the year, they're doing all this work. And but yet they had success. And he's not, again, claiming credit for himself, but giving the Lord the credit. And that's something we have to make sure that we're doing, you know, that we're not taking vows or standing oaths or something for something that the Lord did, and he had to get the glory for it all. And 52 working days, as we mentioned, they didn't work on the Sabbath, but they were working hard and long days, and they were, last time I looked, now I realized that this is Old Testament, and spiritual gifts are usually referred to in the New Testament, but I don't remember reading a gift of wall building, rock carrying, cement mixing, or anything else. No, they all jumped in, and they all helped in this. They used their talents, their abilities, their strength to serve the Lord, and ultimately God gets the glory for it. Because again, these guys on the outside were looking at this, and they knew this. I mean, they had counted on, they were doing their best to discourage the Jews so it would fizzle and quit. But it got built, and in record time. And so there's a bit of a wow factor on their part. I was like, wow, guess their God isn't such an anemic God after all. God helped them to get this done. Because they, I mean, they could recognize better than I could, 39 feet. I don't know how 39. What's this? 20? How many?
12.
Okay. Three times this height. Wow. Is that scaffolding? Long ladders? I don't know. Rock on your shoulder? Okay. Anyway, it was a lot of work. And God gets the glory for it. Now, so does that mean that we should never acknowledge people for their work? No. A lot of people work hard serving the Lord, and that's, they should be commended for that. And yet at the same time, we have to make sure that we're giving ultimately God the glory for it all. And because he's the one who gives us the strength to get up tomorrow and the next day for, you know, these 52 days to get it done. And again, as some of you ladies know, it wasn't just that they had to do. They had to do cooking, cleaning, taking care of the kids, changing diapers, everything else that they had to do, along with whatever's doing this, you know. I don't know if they had those, we used to see pictures of the Indian ladies with a little baby strapped on the board on the back. I don't know if that was their version of backpacks back then or not, but people saw that it got done. And again, they did this in with the opposition. It wasn't like people are on the outside cheering them on, saying, "Come on, guys, I know you can do it." You know, it was anything but that. So we see here the enemies end up being silenced by this. Verse 16, "It came to pass that when all our enemies heard thereof, and all the heathen that were about us saw these things, they were much cast down in their own eyes, for they perceived that this work was wrought of our God." Okay? All of a sudden, they got quiet. All right? And they were disheartened. Yay, God! And okay, so you think they're thinking, well, you know, God got helped them get the wall built. Guess that's the end of that, right? No. There's a history of Jerusalem. There's a history of the Jewish people. They used to be a strong and powerful nation. They were in control of where all these other people are at right now, you know? And they're thinking, wow, God can do that. What else is he going to do? You know, are they going to become strong and come and take over our land? Take over. And you remember there were some other things, too. This was kind of a hit in the pocketbook for some of them, remember? Because Jerusalem used to be kind of the hub of the trade route. They come through Jerusalem and stuff. And then it fell apart. Nobody wanted to go there anymore. So they shifted on over to Samaria. Well, that's probably going to dry up. And so that's, you know, they were affected financially as well from all this. The trade guys would like to go to Jerusalem. They'd like to be able to come inside the walls at night and shut the gate and know that they and whatever else that they're selling is going to be safe and not robbed. And so they're feeling a bit defeated here, which is a good thing. But again, God's the one that's doing it. It wasn't some speech that Nehemiah gave or something that caused them to feel that way. And so you stop and think, okay, so they saw how big and strong the Jewish God was and Nehemiah's God. People are observing our lives too. And what we do and say, and how we act and respond. Do you think maybe people could see God enabling us to do things that maybe we couldn't do otherwise? To do that work? Again, God wants to use us as believers to accomplish his work. And, okay, the wall's built. Does that mean God's will is all done in Jerusalem? Yeah, turn the page. It's kind of like the to-do list. You get it done once, and you're done forever, right? No. Well, there's more added onto it next week and the following week. So God's got more for him to do as well. Well, okay, so like we said, the walls are built, and they're silenced, but not for very long, okay? It's kind of like God might oppose you in one thing or another, and maybe it gets a little easier after a while, but does that mean he's gone away and we're going to leave you alone? No, he'll be back. And like I say, I don't want to give him any more credit than most of us, myself included. It's probably not so much the devil that, you know, he's probably working on somebody a fair bit higher up the ladder here. But he's got a lot of help, okay? And, well, so he's still going to, Tobiah, Sanballat, these other guys were in opposition to Nehemiah all the way up, you know, through these 52 days. And, okay, so they're silent maybe for a few days or a week or whatever. But they come up with plan B, Okay. What else can we do? I was thinking about that. You know, it was their version. They didn't have television. They didn't have ads that you could buy, Tobiah could buy, that would be knocking Nehemiah, you know, like a political thing, like we're going to see for the next how many months, okay? They weren't sending out emails, you know, to try to discourage people. They didn't have newspapers. They didn't have all the media blitz that's out there now. What did they have? What could they do to spread the word, to knock Nehemiah? It's not high tech, Mr. L. Oh, yeah. The rumor machine. Tell me. Over the back fence. You can't shout over the wall, but we can talk over the fence. Okay. Well, not. You think guys don't share rumors? The sky is falling. You know? I mean, who knows what's a rumor and what's true anymore? But, yeah, so they started writing letters. They had a letter-writing campaign. Yes, Kathy? No, yeah, you'd like for that. It's kind of like sharing the gospel. Hey, we got some good news. You're a sinner. You're going to go to hell. But you don't have to go. You know, nobody's going to make you go. That's kind of your choice. What do you do with Christ? Right.
First temple. So their hearts aren't changed for to begin with, even through this whole thing.
But I think he's primarily talking about the Tobiah and those guys that were down in the mouth. That they, oh man, they got it done. I never thought they'd get it done. Do you ever have a project that, well, maybe you thought you're going to get it done, but nobody else did? Okay, when I was about, 16, something like that, I had a motorcycle, and something was the matter with the gears. It skipped gears or jump out of gear or something. I didn't have any money. Okay, so I take the engine out, take it down the basement, tear it apart, and go get the parts I needed to fix the gears, and didn't know this till later, but my mom and my best friend are talking and said, "Do you think he'll ever get that thing going?" "Nah. He'll never run again." Well, I surprised them. Got it back together. Yeah, it would. I think I pushed that thing as much as I rode it, but the gears worked. It was just the electrics were all shot. But yeah, it's like, okay. They didn't expect these guys to do it. And when they did, it was kind of like, oh, man. Yeah. No, that's another story. About the buildings that may be going up in our backyard. It's like, oh, I didn't think they'd ever do that. But, yeah, it'll probably happen one day. Okay, so, yeah, they've got critics. They didn't give up easy. And they didn't play fair, okay? They weren't beyond lying, okay? And so they figure out, what are we going to do here? And as it says, sinful people and Satan will always oppose God's work. And if you're doing a great job, they're going to be there in company, you know, okay? Let's look at verse 17 through 19. It says, "Moreover, in those days, the nobles of Judah sent many letters." There we go, the letters. That was back when people, I don't know if they were writing in cursive or not, but they were printing or doing their letters, and unto Tobiah, and the letters of Tobiah came unto them. So they're exchanging letters back and forth. The postman's busy. For there were many in Judah sworn to him. Okay, so unfortunately, there were a lot of people that were loyal to Tobiah, more so than Nehemiah. Okay, so it's kind of like political parties. You got people for this guy and this guy. All right. Okay, so they're writing letters back and forth. Verse 18, "For there were many in Judah sworn unto him, because he was the son-in-law of Shechaniah, the son of Ara, and his son, Johan, had taken the daughter of Meshulam, the son of Berechiah, and they reported his good deeds before me, and uttered my words to him, and Tobiah sent letters to put me in fear." Okay, so what's happened here prior to all this? Some of the people in Judah, in Jerusalem, had defied God's law, chose not to go with. They intermarried with the people of the land. Okay, they married non-Jews. God told them that in Law of Moses, and Ezra told them, "Don't do that." They did it anyway. So some of them are related to Tobiah, okay? He's Uncle Tobiah or whatever the case might be, okay? And some of them, Meshulam, I believe, is the one that was, we'll find out here in a minute, but I think it was somebody that was kind of close to Nehemiah. And they're writing letters back and forth, and these are encouraging letters, and, you know, Tobiah saying, "Boy, I'm sure I'm proud of you guys. You really worked hard. You did a good job building the wall." No, it's more of this: if fox walks on, it's going to fall down, you know. And so he's doing everything he can to discourage the people. And he's also threatening Nehemiah. You know, "You need to get rid of this guy. Send him back to Babylon or Shushan, the palace, or whatever." And so they were really undercutting what Nehemiah was trying to do. And so it was just another way of opposition. It wasn't militarily now, but it was an emotional battle. It was a mind battle, trying to win the hearts of people. And Tobiah had pretty strong influence. So he's connected to the nobles. We don't know, you know, by intermarriage. I don't know if he's also holding the deed to their house. They have a loan from him. We don't know all the details here. But again, they'd intermarried. They weren't supposed to. And he's using these people as his little undercover agents. There's no doubt some of them were in Nehemiah's group. It tells us elsewhere that even the priest was allied to Nehemiah, to Tobiah. Okay, I'm trying to find the exact verse here. Well, I guess that's further on into the book. But so they're given. Telling Nehemiah what a great guy that Tobiah is, you know, it's kind of like listening to the news, you know, and they're telling you how great this politician is and how bad the other one is and so on, only they're doing it in letters. And, okay, so Nehemiah's got some choices to make. He can kind of let it go in one ear and out the other, not let it bother him. Or he could say, "Man, this grapevine is not good. I got to somehow stomp this out." He could have but chose not to, to try to, you know, intercept the mail, try to turn this around, to silence the grapevine. That's kind of impossible to do. And he just stayed on course, kept doing what God wanted him to do. Okay? And we see here, ultimately, he ended up doing what God wanted him to do. He stuck with it, stuck with the task. Even though there's opposition, even though, and it had to hurt, you know, especially if you get some of these people that are somewhat close to you and you find out that they're, you know, really working for the other guy. And, but again, he's trying to create enemies for Nehemiah, trying to get the people to no longer be on his side. And, okay, so we don't have something like that going on now. We're not building a wall. We're not building the gates. And does that mean we don't have a battle today? No, there's still a battle. What's the Lord trying to build today? Pardon? Okay, trust, faith and trust in Him. What else? The church. He's trying to build the church. What did he say? And what? Yeah, the gates of hell won't prevail against it. But that's also kind of telling us that the gates of hell are in opposition to it. Satan's doing everything he can to divide the church. You know, I've said this in the past, but, you know, Satan can't take away our salvation. So what's the best thing he can do? Yeah, wreck your testimony. Getting the Christians to fuss with one another about the lights or the color of the rug or whether we're going to have valances on the window or whatever else that we can come up with, all right? Because when we're kind of down in the mouth and discouraged, we're not very evangelistic. We're not very, hey, why don't you come to our church? When maybe you don't want to go yourself, right? And so he's doing all that he can. There's a fair bit of opposition in Washington from the head on down that is not really friendly towards Christians. And we could spend some time talking about all that. But you know, and even in the workplace. I read a little article here the other day about some guy. If I remember right, he was a teacher. And a French teacher, I think. Anyway, he said to some people, "Good job, girls." Well, one of them was trying to transition into a boy, and he didn't use the proper pronoun, and he got fired. You know? I mean, they're taking this, you know, and some judge, they threw it out. They finally got up to the state court, and they reinstated him, you know. But, you know, I don't know how long it took to do all this. But it's, we're living in a crazy world, you know. And face it, we're not going along with the crowd. We're not saying everything that's politically correct. You know, we're not woke or whatever else. Although that's starting to backfire. Some of them are deciding that maybe defunding the police and some of that's not such a good idea. But yeah, there's a lot of craziness going on, and yet the Lord still wants to build His church. Now, you'd think, like you said, success, God's done it, maybe we ought to get on board, that maybe people would be looking around saying, this world's falling apart, you know, I better be making some future plans How am I going to get to heaven? I really want to go there. But unfortunately, you know, Satan's still at work, blinding the people's eyes and stuffing their ears and causing them not to want to pay attention or to listen, you know. And so there's still a battle going on. None of us are going to change it in and of all by ourselves, okay? But it's kind of going back to Nehemiah's attitude. If something good's happening, you know, let's give God the credit, you know. And even it's just, like they say, saying it out loud verbally at work or with your friends or family, praise the Lord. Look what God did. Let's give God the credit. You know, maybe they're not seeing it that way. They're still thinking, you're lucky. You know, so people tell me, well, good luck. I'm sorry. That's not cutting it. I want a whole lot more than luck, you know. I'm not nailing horseshoes over my front door and carrying around a rabbit's foot in my pocket, you know, hoping for a better day today, you know. You know, we may face some difficult tasks individually, you know. Maybe we've lived in our neighborhood for 20 years and we've never really talked to anybody about the Lord. We're thinking, you know, now's time. Okay, it may or may not go down well, okay, but I'm going to try, all right? I'm going to do what God wants me to do here. Maybe it's to your family. Again, sometimes we're... Who gives us a spirit of fear? Yeah, God has not given us a spirit of fear, all right? And yet, oftentimes we're afraid to say something because... we're afraid of what people will think or they'll say about us, you know, or they'll get mad at us. Those are choices I guess we have to make. But, you know, it's a rough thing, too. And we never know when or how it's going to happen. But, you know, and maybe it's somebody down like me, down the street, the guys that died. You go to the funeral. You know, and think, wow, I never talked to these guys. You know, I didn't hardly know them. And, of course, they didn't know me either, but that's no excuse. And they may or may not have went over well, but I'm hoping somebody else talked to them about the Lord. I don't really know their spiritual condition, but... yeah, God may have some uphill tasks for us to do, too. But the same God that helped Nehemiah and all the people in Jerusalem build a 39-foot tall wall, 8-foot thick, okay, can help us. Not just in the physical stuff, but the spiritual ones. And he's there for us. We need to remember that. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you for loving us, caring for us. Thank you for this account of Nehemiah, that they finally got the wall built. What a task that was. Humanly speaking, it was kind of an impossible task, but yet you enabled them to do it. And Lord, you can enable us to do things that we may not think we can do either. And give us courage. Put a little steel in our spine and, you know, we can talk to people about all kinds of stuff. Help us to be able to be verbal about our faith and talk to those people that we know and we like. And we'd be saddened to know that if they died, never trusted Christ. But help us to be that vessel that would talk to them about it. Doesn't mean everybody we talk to is going to get saved. But maybe you can be used to plant some seed and somebody else will come along and water and you'll give the increase. We thank you for what you'll do now in Jesus' name. Amen. All right. I don't know if anybody remembered. That's a lot to remember. Turn back the clocks and Fellowship Sunday. So there may or may not be. There'll be some of that black stuff down there to drink and enjoy each other's company. All right.